All right, I think we're ready to go.
My name is Chris Bell, and today's date is August the 5th, 1982. And I'm talking to Mr. Fred Clayton at his home out in Sydney. And Mr. Clayton, last day I believe we were talking about the Somme, and...
We were just coming out of the Somme, to go to Vimy.
Yeah, your battalion was really decimated, wasn't it?
Yeah, we were. All the battalions in that scrap. They were all decimated, all a whole bunch of them. There wasn't enough men in the Canadians to make a decent regiment, a whole bunch of them.
Was yours hurt or hit harder than others, or was it just...
Well, we were hit, yeah, we were hit pretty hard. And, well, you take the left 63 men. I think we numbered out around 700 that time. But we'd gone into the Somme with 1,100 men. In the beginning of September, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And that the last time was in the early part of October, 9th of October. And we took 700 men in that time. And that was what they left out of 703. There were 63 men. 63 officers, 60 men, 3 officers in there. About that.
This was when you tried to storm the Regina Trench, correct?
That's right. It was in Regina Trench, yeah.
Tell me something. Slightly before that, while you people were still on at Ypres, and you did you hear at all of the first day of the Somme? Did you hear any repercussions? Did any of that go back to you? The 60,000 men falling that day.
No.
Security was fairly tight.
Oh yeah, they would scout them things. They never told us what. And matter of fact, I never thought of it.
Mm-hmm.
My mind was free of everything, you know. I had nobody to bother with, like no family, anything. So I never wrote home.
Mm-hmm. So you didn't write to your parents in England or your grandparents in Canada?
I used to write to Canada. I had an uncle in Elkhorn there, an Uncle Jim.
Mm-hmm.
He was more of a father to me than my own father. He married a little Scotch woman, Jessie. They're both dead now.
Were they farmers at Elkhorn?
Ranches, yeah. They had a place just up on the top of the Cinnaboyne Valley. And come from Mignola.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we...
you guys came off the Somme. How did you... you had to regroup, refit, and get replacements in. Where did you go? Did you go back to Ypres, or did you...
We went to Bay Ridge.
Okay, before that, when you were getting recruits in, you know, coming back up to strength, when you were reforming and retraining.
When we come out of the Somme, we went to Bay Ridge.
Mm-hmm.
We never... they split up the whole brigade to relieve one company of these people.
Mm-hmm.
Imperials.
They split up the 9th Brigade then?
The 9th Brigade was the 43rd,
mm-hmm.
52nd, 58th, and the 60th.
Mm-hmm.
Well, when we got up again, they never bothered reinforcing the 60th up. That was the 60th, it must have been very
shot. They just disbanded and sent the troops
to you. And we got 116th battalions put in there. The 9th Brigade with us.
Mm-hmm. Well, did you have replacements coming into your unit?
Oh, yeah. These drafts, we call all them drafts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They come up to the transport lines. And then we come out and they mix in with us.
Mm-hmm.
Put in with us.
Were these replacements or these drafts, were they men that had trained with your units in the past? Or
No.
They weren't.
Some of them were, but not all of them. There were men that was Bakshi.
Mm-hmm.
You know Bakshis?
Yeah.
You know what Bakshi means, eh?
Now what does Bakshi mean?
Something for nothing.
Okay.
They were Bakshi. They put them in the reserve, on the reserve. Now, our reserve was the 16th reserve,
mm-hmm.
in East End. They put these men in the Bakshi, as I say. That's a Hindu word. We had a lot of those words. Company Imperials, mm-hmm. when I was in India, picked up in India, because they had the army in India all the time.
Mm-hmm. You were in India?
No, no.
The army picked it up, though, it became army language.
Yeah, that's right. And that's the way we used to pick up these odd words, like bakshi. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, well...
But most of these recruits were kind of green, and they had never been in action.
That's
right,
all
right.
Green. And anyway, we made a trip in there even before we got any reinforcements.
Really?
Oh, yes.
Well, what sort of strength threw you out when you first
went? We come from the Somme, mm-hmm. we went up to the Vimy.
Okay. So you went into the line opposite Vimy, is that what you're saying?
At Mills and Pass. Mm-hmm. The 9th Brigade was composed of those battalions I was telling you about, 52nd, 58th.
The
43rd and 160th. Mm-hmm. That was the 9th Brigade. But they were all, we were all together. I know I was on a post with the 60th Battalion, mm-hmm. following Alexander. Mm-hmm. And that's the way we went in. There was trenches there, damn good shape too.
Mm-hmm. Had you relieved British or French troops at this
British
point?
British troops.
British.
It was a... I forget the name of the bases now. But... I just got a letter by the Sergeant Major.
Mm-hmm.
Trapped, dying. At Ben Harbor. He was the Sergeant Major of the outfit.
Okay.
I was telling him, he said, Jesus Christ, how the hell did you guys get along then? Well, we never bothered with the trenches at all. We laid out in the no man's land in the shell holes.
Mm-hmm. Why did you do that?
Well, we covered more ground that way. You see, mm-hmm. you know, there's nobody...
But wasn't it safer for you to be in the trench as opposed to a shell hole? At least you had supportive men on either side of you.
You know, you believe it or not, but the no man's land was the goddamn safest place you ever got into.
Mm-hmm.
No man's land.
Mm-hmm.
Many times I slept out in no man's land all day, just for that reason.
Because you wouldn't get any shell fire in front of you.
It's all the top of you. You know, the shells would go over, mm-hmm. and they'd drop behind you.
Wouldn't you be afraid of a raiding party?
Or no, not in the daytime.
What about sniper?
You had to watch out for snipers, yeah. But if you was in the shell, out, you know, you were down pretty well, and they couldn't see you. With our front line,
mm-hmm.
as I say, it was a damn good trench when we went in there. 7 days after us when we come out, you wouldn't know the goddamn place.
Really, what happened?
Oh, we shot it all to hell.
Yeah?
Yeah. The Wurttembergers was in there,
mm-hmm.
and they were hauling at us. Cut out the... We just come from the Somme, too.
Take it easy on it.
They knew the Canadians were there.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just coming from the Somme, too. But you see, it's not the private soldiers that's doing all the bloody trouble. It's these artillery guys away a couple of kilometers back.
Mm-hmm.
Got no bloody thing to bother but shooting.
Yeah, but they're following orders from high command
that's
back
right,
in the chateaus, right?
Yeah. They never come up the front line.
Yeah. So they didn't have to take
what we get back, yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
See? But that's what the Jays you saw, right? Yeah. Oh, yeah, they're...
Well, tell me, it must have been winter when you moved into the line.
Well, October, yes. It wasn't quite winter then. It wasn't bad then. The first trip was all right. But after that, oh, it was a bastard.
It was a real vile winter.
Real tough. And we went in. We got pants when we left the Somme.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a few new clothes. We had pants and we were in there.
You had been wearing
and the old Ross rifle.
You got the Ross rifle back?
No, we come from the Somme with them at the Vimy.
So you had it replaced with a Lee Enfield rifle?
It was after that.
Yeah.
They gave us the colored kilts, and Lee Enfield rifles,
mm-hmm.
a gas mask.
You had all had gas masks at this point?
We had gas masks. What they call a glorious man, was just a a sour sack with a couple of goggles on it.
Mm-hmm.
And it was treated with something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they're supposed to be fighting against him.
Did it work?
Oh, I guess so, yeah. I never got any harm anyway.
Were you ever in a gas attack? Not you had to use that thing?
Oh, yeah. I was in lots of, well, I would say lots, but it was, I never was in the thing, one where you get a hold of the whole thing, you know, you think it's a gas attack, you're thinking about this gas, all the shooting, the whole goddamn thing up, and it's like fog, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it wasn't like that at all. They had old Jerry, after the first gas attack, he lost as much many men as we did in the first one. So he cut it up and he started in shells. Now when you say shells, well, I was in no man's land one time. And I saw a flock of these little sparks going through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And this was the fuses on these shells.
They were sort of canisters, weren't they? Yeah. They would shoot over.
Yeah. And that was it. Well, let's go on from the other thing.
Okay, so you enter the line at Vimy.
Yeah, right, well, we went up the Vimy there. And I'll tell you a funny thing on the way up there when we was hiking.
Mm-hmm.
We was in the Blitz, and one night, no bloody pay, no nothing. You know, and the rations was awful scarce.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the boys come into the barn one night, he said, Jesus Christ, can we get a bunch of fellas and get a barrel of beer down here?
Mm-hmm.
I said, what the hell have you got? He said, there's a Stanley up the road here, about a kilometer, around the corner, on the crossroads. He said, I was in the cellar. Jesus, loaded with beer. He said, barrels of, you know. Well, I don't know, I'll put it up with the boys. And so we got, so 6 hours went up there. Sure, he was right, there were barrels of beer, yeah. Oh, laying on the sides, you know.
Mm-hmm. It was French beer, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, oh yeah.
French beer isn't supposed to be very good.
French beer, yeah, it's just like horse piss. So we got this bloody barrel of beer, got it out. Mind you, it was, you know, they were all sleeping. It was about half midnight. We got this goddamn barrel of beer out of the cellar, rolled it down the road, about a kilometer, and we blocked it up in this barn. Gee, oh, was it? And then some cop said, right, fellas, line up here, bloody Texas. He lined up like this because he said, well, I'm going to knock the bung out of here. He knocked the bung out. I was one of the first three because I had helped to push it down the hill. And I got the Dixie on it. I got the four of them. Went out, you know. Oh, Christ. Goddamn stuff with vinegar.
It was kind of bad.
It was vinegar. I guess we picked the only drinking barrel that was in there that had been there.
Did you go back?
No, sir. We never bothered putting the bung back in the barrel. Just let the goddamn thing. We were so bloody mad. Couldn't get it. Well, that was it. So anyway, then we started to hike up this hall, up to Germany. What the hell is it? Name of that place? Bray. A little town called Bray.
Mm-hmm.
It was what's the name of that tower that's on the you look at it, you see it. It's a church. Two things on it.
Mm-hmm.
You read that map, you'll see it. It's marked there on it.
And I'll find this one here. It probably isn't here.
Yeah, it's here. I saw it the other day.
Well, this is a different map, I'm afraid.
That's a creepy slice. Yeah, that's our focus. No, it's it's down in one of them.
That's Battle of the Somme. No, this is
this ain't the same one as you had the other day?
This is 42nd. It's the only one I had in my car, so I brought it in.
Well, 42nd is our frontage. We should have
Has anyone written a regimental history of your regiment?
No. Old Colonel Sinclair. He was a Major Sinclair in the 16th Battalion.
Mm-hmm. The Black Watcher then?
No. Yeah. No, 16th was the Seaforth.
13th was the
Seaforth had the Seaforth Tartan.
Oh, they were the Canadian Scottish, weren't they, 16th?
That's right, yeah. And they always wore the Seaforth Tartan.
Mm-hmm. Would your map of Vimy have it on?
Hey?
Would your map of Vimy Ridge have it on?
Yes, that's right. It'll be, it'll be there.
I'll dig it up.
Yes.
Tactical map, isn't it?
Yeah, that was down. That was down behind you, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was behind you. Ah, fuck it.
Not too well.
I might remember. Anyway, okay. We got down here. This brae.
Mm-hmm.
Just below that, where this church is up on the hill. And that was our billets there for quite a while, and I mean, we stayed on that. That used to be our billets when we come out.
Mm-hmm.
See?
Who were you alternating with in your brigade? Were you alternating with another battalion?
That's right, 52nd.
I see.
See?
How long would you be in the line? What, for 7 days, 4 days?
Well, 3 weeks, you see. One day in front line, one day in supports, close supports, and one day in behind where we rest.
Mm-hmm. Would you change every night?
Oh no, about every 6 or 7 days.
I see.
I don't know, I was kind of careless about that, I never gave a damn. And I used to be up the line when the battalion was out sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I didn't. But it was around 6 or 7 days they made a trip in the line. And
well, again, you were made a scout about this time, weren't you?
Wait a minute, really, after a while.
Oh, after a while?
He came, yeah.
You were still an independent bastard this time.
Yeah, I was, yeah. We got there to Bray,
mm-hmm.
I say. And that's where we settled there. That was our going to be our rest period in there.
Mm-hmm.
We went up the line, and you know, we went through Neuss and Bath.
Mm-hmm.
Neuss and Bath was as flat as this bloody floor. It's a village.
Well, there's nothing there, but bombed out of existence.
All the graves were open, the fellas were, and the guys were sleeping in the bloody graves and that, cooking their grub.
Mm-hmm.
And there was one dead Frenchman just outside of Vimy. He was laying in the bloody trench. You see, when they dug the trench, his arm fell out.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, you know, it stuck out like this. We always used to shake hands with this Frenchie.
For good luck.
Yeah, good luck. Good Frenchie. Yeah. See you next time, okay. And yeah, we used to shake him with our bloody hand. And we'd go up the line. And anyway, I was put with a fellow named Alexander. On that time.
This is a fellow who was a member of the
60th Battalion.
That's right.
We got in there, we got buried in the bloody, I told you about it.
There was a bombshell and it buried you in the trench?
Yeah. No, it buried us in this bloody dugout. Kind of a, just at the entrance to a dugout. Just the steps. It wasn't finished.
Mm-hmm.
But when there was shell coming on the doorway, it blew the whole doorway and steps all vanished and we were down in the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm. You buried in dirt or were you just sort of cut off from the trench?
No, dirt and that, you know, well, the whole the front of it.
Yeah.
With dirt and wood and all that kind of stuff all mixed up together, you know.
Mm-hmm. But you were just sort of cut off from the trench and you couldn't get out.
That's right, you couldn't get out. Anyway, while I was in there, I found a hole about like this, about this big. The corner of this dugout. And I just started pulling around it and Christ, it opened up and there was quite a big hole, you know. So I don't know, here was a... I had a little bit of a candle like that. So I lit the candle. Christ, here was a... Oh, lovely place.
Was it a mine?
Yeah, mine. It was oh, about that wide, you know. Mm-hmm. About 5 feet high. And then sandbags on the bottom of it.
So it had been recently done?
Yeah, so I said to her, Christ, there's something here, somebody's in here, you know. Let's get down in here. So he passed my kit down through the hole and he come down. And we stayed. They're going down this way. And,
was it going up towards the ridge or down?
No, it was going parallel without trenches.
I see. And, on a downward slope, or is it parallel, no, same level?
No, it was on the side of the hill, about the same level, I might as well say. You know. Mm-hmm. So anyway, we went down, and after a while I come across a fella listening. He had things on his ears, and I was listening. Christ, and, oh Christ, he was all pale. He said, where the hell are you guys come from? I said, what is it? Oh, he said, I was listening here. He said, Christ, you're making a bloody noise. You know how gear pound on the wall. Mm-hmm. And so he told me, we got buried up there. Well, he said, you keep going down, straight down the east, and you'll find another one runs up. So we went down and we found this place where you went up the trench, and we come up there and we come in the front line, mm-hmm. our front line. But we was a long way from where we'd been on the post, up, you see.
Mm-hmm.
We got down there and, well, we knew where we were then, you know. Mm-hmm. So we started to come back on the trench. And coming back, we met one of our corporals that was in charge of us, supposedly, a fellow named Glidden.
Mm-hmm.
He told you he was a floor walker in Eden since he was in life. So you weren't the type of, you guys, the type of guy that would be. He said, where are you guys? You're off your post, you know. So I said, Jesus Christ, you silly bastard. I said, you don't know where the hell your bloody men are here. I said, Jesus, we've been buried.
Mm-hmm.
Come out there. Found it, up and come out. Told him. I'll tell you about another one. Come in about him again. But anyway, we come out and we went back to our post where we'd, on the outside of the dugout where we'd got buried, you see.
Uh-huh.
And that was that.
Had they been trying to dig you out at the time?
No, nobody knew we was gone, you see. Yeah. That's what I say, it was all in shallows. And this thing was in a whole piece of trench that had been blown in.
I see. Well, tell me, this fellow that you met in the listening post, he was listening for German miners?
Well, I don't know, I guess so. Yeah. Listening for him, I guess, most likely was. I used to get to listen for him. He would be digging that, maybe up on top, he'd go underneath him, you know.
Yeah.
See, they had all kinds of bloody stunts to do there. And anyway, we come out the line then.
You were replaced by the 52nd?
No. Oh yeah, oh yeah, that time, yeah.
So you went back to Bray, did you?
We wasn't Bray, no, we were replaced by some other brigade because there wasn't enough of us.
Uh-huh.
We there was only us that relieved.
That were on the Somme, that you came straight to?
Yeah, that's right, we came right on the Somme.
Was it a Canadian brigade that relieved you? Or was it a British Imperial
brigade?
Oh
no, Canadian brigade. I don't know who the hell that was, no.
Was it from 3rd or 4th, you think? Not to worry, but...
God damn it, I forget now. Who the hell relieved us then?
Where did you go when you were relieved?
Went down to Bray.
Again?
This is where this camp was, you see. Mm-hmm. We stayed there. On starvation rations, there was 8 men on a loaf. Yeah? Mm-hmm. The only thing was, there was all kinds of bloody cheese. Cheese.
Was it good cheese?
It was good cheese, but you're sick of cheese. Eating cheese. Oh, guys.
Of course, you probably had that delicacy known as bully beef.
In the bloody Ensels. Oh, we had a bunch of fine bloody Ensels in there, boy. Yeah. And fellas used to report them, you know. One fellow I know, he reported they had him pinched. He come back, he never got to see the old sea because the sergeant is unfamiliar with the head of him, you see.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you got pinched, sent back to this, there was one fella, he made it, he reported these bloody NCOs, and next time I seen the pass, he had 3 stripes on.
Really?
Yeah. I said to him, well, he said, you know, that bunch of bloody things I reported.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, he'd give me that to shut my face. So I said, you're going to shut your bloody face over a few bloody stripes, eh?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he said, we wouldn't, friend.
You wouldn't, for what?
We wouldn't. Oh, Christ. No. And then, so, anyway, we made about 2 trips in the line before Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Come on.
And how was the weather up to this point? Had it progressed?
Pretty good. It was cold at night, but pretty good.
Had you had any leave after the song?
Leave? But we never got no bloody leave. That's what I told you.
Did you get a holiday, a couple days off?
No days off.
Not a 48-hour leave?
No.
One night off?
No. There wasn't a day like that, Christ.
No.
Oh, no. Like you say, I went 18, 19 months.
Without a leave?
Without a leave.
Yeah.
This was in that period. And the rations was rotten. Anyway, the next time I went up the line, oh, yeah, I was made a Lance Corporal. Yeah. I never bothered with a bloody stripe so in the morning, but I took these 16 men up where I was supposed to meet this captain somebody out of the Imperials engineers,
mm-hmm.
Imperial engineers. It was a trench maintenance group, you see.
Mm-hmm.
That was the men say, you know, if a trench got blown in, you had to go up and fix it up. And the water, you had to work in the trench or anything. But I met this guy, and I told him, he looked at me, I looked at him, and he said, I don't know where you are. I didn't think about you fellows.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I listened, that's all right with me. So I took these guys around behind along the trench a little way down. I said, listen, fellas, we got to hunt up a place to stay here. Hunt around and see if you can get a dugout. And they did, they got damn good, didn't they? And now I said, who's the cook here? You know, one fellow was a cook for him, a logging camp,
mm-hmm.
when he is in Savannah, you know. So I said, well, okay, you cook for us, eh?
What did you have to cook?
Well, what do you mean? Yeah, I said, you cook for us, isn't it?
Okay.
Well, he said, all right. I said, I'll rustle the gravel.
You said that you would wrestle the grip.
Yeah.
Were you something of a scrounger?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I used to scrounge, boy. And, we got in this dugout, and that was a cook, and they were all around. Well, I said, I'm going to get some bloody grub. So I took one home with me.
Mm-hmm.
We went back to battalion, to my outfit. I got the rations for 18 men, myself, and this included the rum. A water bottle is rations for 18 men, you know, a water bottle.
Full of rum.
Yeah, that's the rations for 18 men, a water bottle. I got my water bottle full of rum. I took them back. Stayed in the cup. I got thinking, Christmas. I can make something out of this. I take them down to another company, A company. And I told them, I said, I got 6 year old men. I said, there's 18 of us all together, 19 count myself. Oh, I said, I guess we're responsible for a whole bunch. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. Sure, I says. I guess another 18. Another water bottle full of rum. And I went there, I got from all four companies. Mm-hmm. Oh, we were high. We lived high. And
still, if it was four times army ration, it still couldn't have been very good.
Oh, no. Oh, it wasn't good. So that's the way I brought this bunch out. Uh-huh. And when we come out of line, I report to your company's fathers, you know. And I goes to report to my company, as I see the old officer inside of the captain. Turnbull, or some bloody name like that, his name was. That was when I first joined the outfit. I never bothered much about their names. Some of them I did. Well, anyway, I said to him, I'm all finished with that, you know. I come to report, all done, all okay, and that. Yeah, he looked at me and he said, yeah. Yeah, all okay, then. Yeah. Well, he said, upon all reports, he said, you wasn't much a success as a corporal this time. Oh, no, he said, no. I said, well, that's too bad, but we're all home now, safe, never, no cares of anything.
Mm-hmm. Did he pull your stripe?
I never had one.
But did he bust you down to private?
Oh, yeah, he says to me.
This is Captain Turnbull?
Yeah. I said, oh, okay, so I went to go back to my platoon, see? I'd gone out of this shack he had there in Bray. He said, just a minute, Clayton. He said, I got something been bothering me. He said, I'm looking for a man that I can depend on. And so I, yeah, what is, well, he said, it's a scout. So I said, well, I used to be a scout, and I come from a scouting outfit. It was,
79,
Glen Campbell's. Gordon Campbell, 79th, Glen Campbell's Scout. Oh, you did? Yeah, I said, see my number.
Yeah.
I had a lower number than 47. Yeah. He said, he was one of those, yeah. He said, you do fine, he said. Well, I said, I don't want to think about it, you know. I said, if I'm going to do anything like that, I said, I want a clearance from you. Just to take orders from you alone.
Mm-hmm.
And no bloody NCO. Oh, he said, can't do that, you know. Well, I said, I can't go scouting for you. Well, Christ, all righty. Jesus, you won't do it. No, Christ, I said, no. And I started out again. He said, just a minute, just a minute. He said, I'll stick my bloody neck out for you. He seemed to be the same goddamn guy that come in any on this scum. So he said, I'll take you up on that. I said, well, okay, we shook hands on it, by the way. Yeah, and I said, well, that's right. So the next time we went up the line, Christy, it was Christmas we was put in the bloody line. That was one of our first Christmas in the line. And I started out with no fucking rations, no nothing, and I salvaged rations. I salvaged rations for my platoon.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Christ, yeah, bully beef and hard tack, you know, just biscuits.
There was no Christmas dinner at all provided?
No Christmas, not a goddamn thing.
Nothing warm at all?
No, and there wasn't a cigarette, no nothing. Mm. We were in there.
Was it quiet on Christmas?
Yeah, well, Heidi got kind of quiet, you know, after the trenches had all been shut up, and they quite had quietened down, you know, they've been from the Somme to, I guess, the husband started, and they quietened down. Oh, yeah, but we had to watch for snipers. But no, we never had a goddamn thing there. We come out the line, went with the brag in, and the only thing that was in Bray was a stamp, one Stanley. You know, we got beer.
That was it. And there was thousands of you fellows there, right?
And another thing, this was when we quit making our own bombs.
Mm-hmm. You were now issued with Mills bombs.
That's right.
Up to this point, what had you been doing? Making ticklers, artillery?
No, jam tin bombs, what do you call jam tins. Pork and bean cans, anything like that. We had cakes of gun cotton, all about that big.
Mm-hmm.
About an inch thick.
And you would stuff it with gunpowder?
Well, there's one in the middle of this gun cotton. This was, and gun cotton, it can explode it. In the middle of this was a wet plug. You see, you couldn't detonate the whole goddamn works.
Mm-hmm.
We used to chunk of this wet stuff off of the... Right? And then we take a chunk of this gun cotton about that big.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, you open a tin of beans or a tin of jam. You make a cut. Stick your bayonet in there and you cut right across the top of the can.
Mm-hmm.
And then stick it up and make right like a cross in there.
Mm-hmm.
On the top of the can. And bend them out. Bend these four corners out.
Mm-hmm.
Then get a piece of sandbag, so that it just goes in there. And in that we put this chunk of gun cotton.
Mm-hmm.
With a fuse, you know, just to give you enough ammo, whatever you wanted to leave out of the can. You know, 5 seconds or...
Could you tell?
Seconds.
Was it... You could...
Oh, no, he had to guess. What, how many seconds? He had to guess. Oh, no, he didn't.
You
had
no idea, but you were saying this might be 5 seconds.
Yeah, that's right, yeah. That's the way he fixed it. Now, we used to sit all day making these bloody bombs and putting them aside for us at night time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there was more fighting at night time than there was in the day then. So we said...
And how heavy were these bombs after you had made them, were they?
Well, I don't know, that was just about the same as pork and beans, I guess.
So you could throw them quite away?
Oh, yeah. Depending what you put in the can, you know, if you find lead, all right, but if you find rocks, all right, if you find dirt, gravel...
It's just glass, nails, anything that would splatter.
Anything you could make it...
Were they effective?
Oh, yeah.
Did the Germans have the same sort of thing, or did they have...
No, they had bombs made. They had no tally mashing bombs.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But it was at this point that you guys were issued with Mills bombs.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And how did you find them? I heard there was a lot of duds in them. They had quite a few that wouldn't...
There was a lot of complaining about them at first, yeah. Somebody who said that they up the hell with it. They didn't put anything in it. You see, you had to have something wet in there to
mm-hmm.
start that explosive going. See? If you didn't have that, or like a fuse, it was in the Mills bombs, but then you had to set them.
Mm-hmm.
You had to take this plug out of it. And in there, there's two holes. See? Well, one is for the end of the fuse, go down here.
Mm-hmm.
And the other one is you pull it out and sticks out through the...
Through the part of the tin that you had pulled back?
No, the Mills bomb,
mm-hmm.
it didn't do that. You had it in, like this, in there.
Mm-hmm.
This one went and touched the explosive. This one, it fired when there's a hammer up here.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
where a pin would be pulled out.
Yeah, you pull a lever. As a lever comes around the bum like that,
mm-hmm.
Fighting up there. Now, and a pin goes through here. This fulcrum here. There's a pin goes through there. So this wouldn't, the hammer wouldn't go up. See? So when you got the bomb, you pulled this bloody pin out,
mm-hmm.
and you held this handle down into the bomb. Because when that, if it wasn't there, it would fly off, and this other one would set this bloody detonator off. Mm-hmm. See?
It had a short time fuse, say
2 or 3 seconds. Yeah, yeah, well, it'd be three and a half and 5 seconds. 5 seconds is about the longest one,
mm-hmm.
and 3.5 was about the average.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the way they was. But with the jam tin, of course, you just guessed the bloody thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't that way at all.
Did you prefer the Mills bombs to the jam?
I would say a Mills bomb was a handy thing. Anything. And the main thing is, you had to make these bloody jam tins, you know.
Which was a pain in itself.
Yeah, pain in the ass, you know. But these Mills bombs, they used to come up in boxes. Used to pull them out. They were fine. Yeah. Now, what the hell was I? Where the hell was I?
It was early January, and you were talking about...
That Christmas.
Yeah.
Well... It was a real bastard anyway, yeah. I had no bloody use for a goddamn NCO or nothing, you know. They used to keep clear of me for some reason. I don't know. I never thought I was scared.
Were they scared of you?
I don't think so.
Well, tell me, did you ever have confrontations with your NCOs, and did you ever sort of have fights with them?
All the time.
Yeah.
But when you was by yourself.
Not when there was a crowd around.
Well, the officers too. I had an officer pull a gun on me. But...
You going to tell me about that?
Well, that began on this later on.
Okay.
The president. And this... when they're up the line,
mm-hmm.
they're the most docile bunch of bastards I've ever seen. Yeah, yeah, docile. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What do you think about this country? I said, Christ, you're wearing all the stripes. You're the blame. Then that's what used to make him mad. You know, right?
They tried to be kind of buddy-buddy with you and...
Well, up the line, yes, but up the line it was...
But they became NCOs again, didn't they? Yeah.
Well...
They assert themselves and...
They used to get in touch with us. But it was their own bloody fault, as I thought. But I was as low as I could. They could push me. They couldn't push me any lower than I was. I was about to have it all the time. That's why I used to get kicked out of. I was a problem.
Yeah.
Now I go up an officer and say, now Dick, right, Dick Willen. This was a cowpuncher from Calgary.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Willen. One night I was on the street and Jesus, I said, oh, she was a real honey.
Was this in France?
Yeah. In the town of Rochelle. Oh. So. Bonsoir, mademoiselle. Huh? Bonsoir. I think you're talking. So,
could she speak English or did you speak French?
No, I speak French, yeah. Mm-hmm. Bonsoir, mademoiselle. It's good morning. How are you doing? I used to say, but she asked me in the house, you know. So when I got into the house, she told me she was a hooker.
Mm-hmm.
She was a real swell. By the time I broke last time, I was going to make some dough. So I went out and I went up to old Dick Richards. He got killed. I used to Dick Richards in his cabin where he was hanging out. I said, Dick, give me 15 francs. 15 francs? We used to get about 5 francs a month, you know.
Mm-hmm. That's how much she charged with 15 francs?
No. Bernard, what the hell? I don't know. I think it's only 15 pence. Well, yeah, sure. So you pulled out your 15 francs, and thanks very much. And I'll give it back to you someday when I get paid, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, he was paying the Eversell cowpuncher from Calvary, stick wedges. And then I went back and I stayed in that house office all that night and the next day. Mm-hmm. I get up. And I got washing parts and I steps out near that one of these when there's the house and there's the sidewalk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The house, you open the door and you step right out on the sidewalk. I just stepped out on the sidewalk and geez, there's old Dick Richards there. He stopped. You low down son of a bitch, he said, doesn't. What's the matter with you? God damn it, he said, that's my girl. You've been with it. Okay, sir. I beat it. But anyway, we went along then. Oh, it was all every day. We were working in the trenches. It was ice, you know. The fellas was going out, they got give me rubber boots up here, you know. Mm-hmm. Rubber, you see that bloody rubber. And they come down with no boot on the mud out of it. Oh, crazy. It was a bastard. And then I was walking across the little bridge one night down at Bray,
mm-hmm.
right across this railway track. There's one railway track like this, and another one underneath like that, you see?
Mm-hmm.
I was walking across this one, to across this place, and I stepped in a goddamn hole, and I went right through it, and the side of my face hit the bloody rail here.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm laying there, and oh, Jesus. I woke up, and gosh, there was a guy walking down the side of this thing. He said, how the hell did you get down there, mate? Well, I said, you come down the way I did. You're one. And this face was way out of you.
It was puffed up that much?
Yeah.
Has it broken anything?
Yes. And I've been...
Operated on?
No. Ever since then, I've been condemned for having this. Now, my fucking nose is broken in there, inside of my nose. You find that bloody piece and it's sticking in, right inside my nose there.
I see.
And this thing here, now, well, it wasn't. See that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's
out. Yeah, you should be way out of crazy, buddy.
Does it hurt you to this day?
The next day on parade.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be pretty good here, and I used to pay attention to them. Two officers, examination, you know, inspection, was on. As this officer come along with my platoon officer,
mm-hmm.
I always did this road, you know, there was a place near with bloody beer and all that. And so I stepped up, great. I said, I heard that, sir. And that's a bloody accident. What are you doing? That's all right, Clint. Get back in your ranks. Get back in your ranks, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, great. So anyway, I goes up the line. I got a cold in my eye. I couldn't see a goddamn thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was on a post with a fella on a block.
Were you not sent back to a dressing station?
No, I wasn't even sent down to my own bloody dressing station.
Mm-hmm.
I was drunk, you see. That's what they, according to the story, I'd been drunk the night before and I got poked in that eye.
Uh-huh.
It was all closed and then I got a cold in this eye, see. I was blind.
Mm-hmm.
And I get sat on this block with this fellow. Who the hell was his name? You know what a block is?
No, I don't.
Well, it's a block in the trench, you know. Mm-hmm. They just block the trench up, you know.